All right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'd like to look at verse 20. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, I'm thankful for the comfort through your word and the strength through your word. And Lord, I pray as we look at these verses tonight that you'd help us, whatever the need is. Lord, I pray that you would go before us and again, just, Lord, you'd use your word to minister to our hearts. Lord, we do love you and we are thankful for your care and love for us. And Lord, I pray that we would express that and show that in a way that's pure and right and true. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You know, sometimes I feel like I know what I want and I know what's best. And if I did that, and if I got what I thought was best, you know I'd be cutting God short. Because God is able to offer things to us that exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We can't even begin to think to ask for those things. And he says, "And I can bring it right down into your house." It says, "According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory." Look at where now? In the church. He can make those things happen right here. God is able to do things that we could never do. Only God can do things like that. Again, exceeding abundantly. We may think that we got it all figured out, and the quicker we can acknowledge that we don't have it all figured out and that we look to the Lord for our help and guidance and strength, then all of a sudden things show up on the table that we never have expected. Sunday night, Pastor Seatman preached on great expectations or expectation. I don't know the full name of it. But the expectations of God toward us. And if we got a hold of that, that would help us here. If we recognized in our own life that we are so limited in what we could even come up with a plan. My children have Legos and they love Legos. And without a plan though, that I mean they make some stuff, but with the instruction manuals, man, it comes out great. You know what, in our own life, sometimes we think, okay, I got a plan, but you're limiting God. So tonight, we're going to look at some areas where some things that God, only God can do for us. Actually, let me rephrase that. Things that only God can do, not just for us. The correct phrase is to us. Look at James chapter 4. Just have four thoughts tonight. It's quick. It's all on one page. I told Pastor Seatman we'd be done by 8 o'clock, so. James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 12, it says, "There is one lawgiver." Look at now. "Who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" And we can... It would take a little time to develop the text, but I do believe we can look at this verse just as how it says. God is the lawgiver. It is by His rules by which we abide by. And it says this, God is able to save us. Isn't that good to know? That in the midst of our sin, God is able. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Just a few pages back. I love these verses. They're so awesome. Without sounding too childish, it's just awesome. What is God able to do to us that we could not do? He's able to save us. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 23, it says, "And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." It didn't expire. You know, right now our president is doing some executive orders. And you know what's going to happen with the next president? They're going to have their own. Say, how do you know that? Because you know what happened with the last president? Congress is not used anymore. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And the next guy comes in and says, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that's how the law is written. He's not doing anything illegal. But wouldn't it be a shame, or wouldn't it be scary as Christians almost, we have a new high priest. How do we get into heaven now? But in James chapter 4, it was told we have one lawgiver. And here it tells us that we have an unchangeable priesthood. Look at verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them. God is able to do something to us that we could not do on ourselves. I could not save myself. There was no amount of good. There was no amount of merit. There was no amount of money that I could produce that would save my soul. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly. And he is able to save our soul from hell. And the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Say, that guy's way too far gone. Nope, God's able to save him too. Oh no, she has made a wreck of her life. She was out in the uttermost. And God says, no, I can save that one too. You know, we all have limits to what we can and cannot do. And we know that, and we know our limits. That's why we don't participate in maybe certain activities. Maybe your fear is public speaking. That's why you don't sign up to teach a lesson. Nervous, I can't do that kind of stuff. What is God's limits? He has none. Say, the blood of Christ wasn't powerful enough to save a child. Oh no, it was powerful enough to save even a little child. Even to the uttermost. And praise the Lord for that. Number one, what is God able to do to us that we could not do for ourselves? Number one, he's able to save us. Number two, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm looking forward to heaven. We were singing that song about the trumpet. And the older I get, the more wonderful the rapture sounds. I look forward to the day of shedding this cloak of flesh and seeing heaven. God not only saved us to something, he saved us from something. Look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Who delivered us from so great a death. He not only say, what was God able to do to us? He was able to save me and give me eternal life, but he also protected me from death. See, the wages of sin is death. And he delivered me out of the clutches and the snares and the penalty and the guilt of my own sin. Talked about that a few weeks ago. How he was able to do such a great thing. Who delivered us from so great a death. Say, death is death. It's bad all the time. What he's referring to here is the consequence of our sin. It's not just taking your last breath. It's the consequence, the full consequence of sin being paid for. And God says, know what I can do? I can do something that you can't do. I can deliver you from that. Remember in Luke chapter 16, there's an expiration date on that offer, though, you understand. Once you step into the gates of hell, that's it. You've made your decision. Sometimes with our children, we can kind of see, talking to parents here for a second, you ever see your kids start kind of going not good? I mean, not like they're going to go rob a bank, but you can tell the dynamic of, hey, this is about to get real bad for you. And what do? We just kind of warn them, hey, before you go any further, why don't you think about your choice? Think about the next thing you're about to say, because you're about to find some trouble if you walk through there. You understand that anybody that finds himself in hell chose that. But yet God is able to deliver us from so great a death. I was in New York City yesterday, and we were driving, and we were coming down the Hudson River. We were about to come across the George Washington Bridge, and on the side there was a cemetery. On the way in, there was one cemetery. All the headstones were back to back, and then it would go 6 feet, and then another 6 feet, and then back to back headstones. This, I'm not kidding you. There was a cemetery, and there was no room for any burial. I don't know how they did it. It was just headstones, just packed in. And I thought when I drove by, I wonder how many are delivered from so great a death. I wonder how many of those headstones represent Christians. Because I don't know. But do you know that God is able to? Right here, right now. And if you feel like, maybe you're watching online or whatever it is, but if you feel like, no, I'm too far gone, I'm a mess, hey, please know that God can deliver you. He can do something that you personally could not do for yourself. That's deliver you from so great a death. Look at this next one. And this brings it maybe a little bit closer to us here. Psalm 23. Just a couple more points. What can God do to us? Number one, He can save us. Number two, He can deliver us from so great a death. Then I love this verse. Ever read Psalm 23? This is probably one of the, if there was a passage of Scripture that would be most familiar, I would almost say it would be Psalm 23. The Bible says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." It says this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." How many of you can say with an uplifted hand, "God is my shepherd"? Anybody? Good. That would make you the sheep, right? How many of you can say, "By God's hand, I do not want"? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know what that means? He's a provider. He makes provision. He meets our needs. He actually leads me beside the still waters. Again, yesterday we were driving, we were cutting through, and we were getting close to the Catskills there before you turn to go into New York City. And there was this creek. It looked like it should have been a puzzle or something. The water was flat. The trees came right to it. Felt like there should have been a guy in the middle fly fishing. It was just that, as picturesque as you could imagine. Water like glass. And I thought, if I was a deer, that's where I would want to be. Look at how beautiful that is. I almost pulled off just to look at it. It was just so pretty. And God says, that's where I lead you. That's where I lead you. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And you say, why are you saying all that? Look at all the great things He does. And then tell me the next phrase of verse 3. He restoreth my soul. If God is my shepherd and he's met all my needs, he gives me security, he gives me peace, he provides everything I not need, why is he restoring something? Because somewhere along the way, I said, God, I see what you have for me and I don't want it. How crazy is that? You know what God is able to do for us? He's able to restore us. He's able to restore my soul. Hey, if you've been out or not right with the Lord, do you know that God makes a provision and a way for you to get right with him? And it's all on him. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how God is so merciful and forgiving. If someone does you wrong, you don't forget that. If someone stole from you or someone hurt you or someone caused you physical harm, you don't, it's tough to forget that. If someone spoke ill against you and just tarnished your name, how have you mocked God before you were a Christian? But he forgets all that. Even as a Christian, how have you wandered as a Christian? Anybody like that? Sure. And the Bible says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me back to where I ought to be. What can God do to you? He can restore you. And if you feel like, oh, I've messed up or I'm too far gone, please know, yes, there is a consequence of sin. Yes, it breaks fellowship with the Lord. Yes, there is a danger of that. Yes, it costs you more than you ever wanted to pay, keeps you longer than you wanted to stay, all of that. But God always does make a way that if you want to get right, you can. Isn't that a blessing? It will always, can I tell you though, it will always be better to walk right. But if you've wandered, God is able to restore you. That's something man struggles with. I know I struggle with it. Turning a blind eye or whatever it is. But God is able to do that. Our last one, look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. He asks this question, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, look at now. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. Isn't it a blessing to know that when you're weak, God can give you the strength to stand? I don't know what you're going through this week. I know there's some of you have been going through it this past year. It's been a tough year. And God says, here's what I can do for you. For God is able to make him stand. God can do something that we can't even do on ourselves. Sometimes we feel so weak and so defeated, and God says, I can help you stand there. I can give you the strength to get through. I'll give you the grace to get through. You know, tonight we're praying for these to be healed. And I don't know what God's plan is. Not everybody that's sick gets better. Is that not true? Does that mean God isn't good? No. So what did I pray? I said, Lord, I don't know what your will is, but if they don't get healed, would you give them some grace? Just grace to get through. Just help them to stand. It's one thing to be physically, and I know the things go so hand in hand. And I know when you physically are drained and your spirit's not too far behind, but if there's a way that maybe if you get down a little bit, that you'll never quit or give up on your faith, that you stand for what is right, that you'll stand for what is true, even if everything around you falls apart, God is able to make the weak stand. There's times that we go through ups and downs. There are times when we just can't do it on our own. please know that God is able to help you. God is able to make him stand. Sometimes I don't want to stand. Felt bad. I was driving with Pastor Seaman yesterday, and he was driving us to New York, and we were going down there, and I'm sitting in the front seat, and just the hum of the vehicle, right? There we are. All of a sudden, he started talking, and my eyes opened up again. Felt bad. I was zoning out. I didn't want to talk anymore. I just wanted to close my eyes. And sometimes in life, I don't want to fight anymore, Lord. I just want to close my eyes. I just want to lay down. I don't want to stand anymore. I'm tired. God says, I'm able to make you stand. Even when you're weak. You see that first verse of Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith. So when you're, it's not talking about having, hey, I just ran a half marathon, I'm tired. No, it's talking about being weak in the faith. Ask the Lord for strength. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord to deliver you from those weak times. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither, look at this, you can't even imagine, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God is able to do things for you, to you, that you couldn't even come up with. He's able to save you. He's able to deliver you from so great a death. He's able to restore you, and he's able to help those that are weak stand. Let's all stand tonight. We'll be dismissed.